Let's open our Bibles now in the book of Revelation, chapter 2. We will read the letter to the church in Smyrna. The church of Smyrna, the second letter that Jesus Christ wrote to his churches, to the seven churches. Revelation 2, verses 8 to 11. This is the word of the living God, and God says, "And to the angel of the church in Smyrna write the words of the first and the last, who died and came to life. I know your tribulation and your poverty, but you are rich, and the slander of those who say that they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, and you may be tested, and for 10 days you will have tribulation. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The one who conquers will not be hurt by the second death." Amen. Let's pray again. Let's talk to God. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the scripture which already spoke to our hearts. And now we ask you, Lord, that may your Holy Spirit continue to make our eyes and ears open to your word. And may we will be able to listen your voice, and may we will change our hearts to glorify your name. Help us. We pray all of these in Jesus' name. Amen. We are again in the Book of Revelation, in the church of Smyrna. We are in the second letter that John wrote to the churches, to the seven churches. And we need to see that every letter is completely different from the other letters. We know, for example, that all the churches, all the seven churches were receiving persecution from the Roman Empire. We know that all of them were losing their friends, their families to the government. They were killing and putting in prison many of the believers. But we know that the church of Smyrna, for example, is receiving a bigger amount of persecution than all the others. And this is very clear in the text that we saw, like they were already suffering, but God was talking to them and saying, you will suffer even more for an amount of time. We know also that this church was the second, the city of Smyrna, was the second biggest church in the region. They were called the beauty of the cities by their time. They had amazing places to visit and to see. And they were competing with Ephesus in richness. It was the second important city of that region by that time. However, we can see here that this is a poor church. And why is that? Because the persecution was so intense by that days that they were stealing and taking the possessions of the believers, of Christians, and taking from the for the government. So the Christians were not allowed to have a good life. They were not allowed to progress in their lives. They were not allowed to have a better situation. So the contest of this letter is already a context of a church who were suffering and suffering hard by the hands of the Romans. But we have here a letter which is not speaking about suffering, a letter that will change the concept of tribulation and a concept of suffering that we usually know until today. Because usually we see suffering and tribulation as something bad. But this is what the scripture is speaking about, the suffering for the name of God, for the name of Jesus Christ. For the believers, suffering for the name is a privilege, and we should enjoy and have happiness when we are worried to suffer by the name of Jesus Christ. And this is something that is not normal for our minds. Of course, no one wants to suffer, and we will not perceive persecution. Of course not. But we need to understand that Jesus is speaking to his church in that moment to say to them that they were blessed for being able to receive the persecution for the name of Jesus Christ. And we will understand that better when we look to the text. And verse 8, it's speaking about the angel who spoke to the church of Smyrna. And this angel spoke about the words of the first and the last who died and came to life. Every first verse of the letters are connected to the verses in the first chapter of Revelation. If you go to verse 17 and 18 of Revelation 1, you will see exactly the same words and the same expressions. Because Jesus Christ was presenting himself as the first and the last, and the living one in verse 17 and 18. And he said, I die, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Jesus is speaking about what he is. And he's speaking about one of the characteristics that represents better what this church really needs. They were struggling in many different situations, and now they know that the Son of God, who are the first and the last, who was the one who died and came to life, is speaking to them. There is a meaning in these words. We will understand better by the end of this letter, but he is speaking, showing himself as the first and the last, and that one who died and came to life, because he was speaking with this church to show them that there is hope in the name of Jesus Christ. I am the first and the last. You don't need to be afraid, because you are speaking, you are listening and receiving this letter from the God who will ever exist. He exists forever in the past, and he will exist forever in the future. Our God is not created by anyone. He is the creator of everything. He is the first and the last. And specifically the second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ, he came to this world, he died, but he came to life. He didn't stay in the tomb. He was not murdered and he continued that. But he resurrected from the dead. He was resurrected from the dead. He raised up again. And he is seated by the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And he is ruling the whole universe. This is very important for this church. They were suffering, they were struggling with many situations, and now God is presenting to them as a God who has all the power in his hand. Look to me, Church of Jesus Christ. I am the first and the last. I died, but I came to life. The hope of the Church of Jesus Christ is completely in Jesus, his Savior. And he continues, God, Jesus Christ, continues speaking to this church in verse 9. And it's very, very amazing, the phrase that we will read in the first part of this verse. I know your tribulation and your poverty. I know your tribulation and your poverty. It's amazing that Jesus Christ was not hiding his face of this church. We know that that happened in the past in many situations with the Jews. We know, for example, when Jeremiah came to the Jews to speak to them and to say to them the words of God, and he said to a people who were not being blessed by their God, not anymore. God rejected the Jews by that moment. They were not blessed by the hands of God. And the prophet was probably one of the best prophets that Israel had, but no one listened to his voice. This is terrible for a prophet. He spoke and no one listened. He proclaimed and no one cared. And why that happened? Because God was not looking to his people anymore. He said many times that they were singing, but God was in the back. He was showing his back to them. He was not receiving their worship. He was not receiving their prayers. They were speaking to their false gods and not to the truly God. But here, the situation was probably worse than the situation of the Jews in the Old Testament. The church was being destroyed. And Jesus Christ is telling them, I know your tribulation. I know that your cousins, your sons, your daughters, your fathers and mothers are being murdered before your eyes. I know all of this. I can see all of this. And I know that you are suffering strongly. I can see your tears. I can see your heart completely destroyed for this tribulation. And I know your poverty. I know that you are struggling in other situations in your life too. I know that some days you don't have the daily bread. I know that during some days you can't feed your children. I know that you are passing to a very, very deep, bad moment. But then suddenly, God speaks to them saying, but you are rich. Rich of what? We should ask. And this is the contrast that we will find in many churches in the book of Revelation. We will see that to another church he will say, you are rich, but you are poor. And for other churches, they will say, you are faithful, you seem faithful, but you are not. And here he's saying, look, you are poor, but you are rich. And the meaning of this is because God is not speaking about physical things. He's speaking about spiritual things, spiritual realities. They were not rich in this world for the Roman Empire or for their neighbors. They were in need of many things. But when God looked to them, to their hearts, he saw that they were rich of the power of God. Among tribulations, it's not easy to stay in the presence of God. We know the story of many Christians in the past, and when they came to face the tribulation, when they went to the presence of officers and of governors, they denied the name of Jesus Christ, thinking about saving their own lives. They saved their lives by that moment, but they reject the one who can give life forever. And it's not easy. I don't know how I would live among situations like this. We don't know what our friends and our brothers and sisters around the world are dealing with in many situations of tribulation today. We don't know what is happening with many Christians which today are living in places closed in prisons, and they were receiving almost anything to eat, and they were being beaten every day, and they are suffering hard, all because of the name of Jesus Christ. We don't know all of this. We are a blessed church when we think about this situation. But they were rich because they still continue in the presence of Jesus Christ. And Jesus continued to speak to them. And I know the slander of those who say that they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. This is very important, not only for this text, but for the whole meaning of being a Jew after Jesus Christ. They said, Jesus said in this letter, that they belong to the people of God, that they belong to the Jews, to the people who received the Old Testament, who supposed to be in the presence of Jesus when he came, but they were not being the people of God. Instead, they were being a synagogue of Satan. This is a very intense accusation. They were saying that they belong to God, but in the reality of their hands and of what they do, they were being a synagogue of Satan. That means that the Jews in Smyrna was working to Satan instead of work to God. What a terrible accusation for those men. And we know what happened by the contest and with the history. In the beginning of the Church of Jesus Christ, the Jews were bringing names of believers, names of Christians, and they were giving lists of names of Christians to the Roman Empire, saying, they live here, their names are these, so you can go to their houses, you can kill all of them, and take everything that they possess. They made that for at least 100 years. The Jews, those who supposed to follow the commandments of God, those who supposed to fulfill the glory of our Lord, they were disobeying the commandments. They were living a terrible life, and they were working for Satan. And how that happened? They became blind for the works of their God. This is something that we need to think about it. How can someone that have in their hands the words of salvation, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the promises of the Lord, work to Satan instead of work to God? We already saw that happen more times during the story of humankind. We saw in the Crusades people who said they were Christians going to other lands and killing thousands of people in the name of Jesus. They were not working to Jesus. They were working for their own desires and to Satan. We saw many people who said they were Christians in the past, attacking, including Jews, taking their possessions, killing Protestants, for example, when they split with the Roman Church, and they said, "We are working to Christ. We are working in the name of Christ." But they were not working to Christ. Our Christ doesn't work like that. He is not a God who called us to kill our neighbor, to persecute our neighbor. Instead of this, he said, "Love your neighbor as thyself." And he said, "Love your God." And they were not doing any of those things. And today, we need to think about that, because we don't want to be among those who say that they follow Jesus Christ, but they are not following Jesus Christ. A lot of people today say that they are fulfilling everything that the Bible commands us to do, but they are not fighting for Christ. They are fighting for their ideas or whatever they have in their minds. A lot of people today are bringing shame to the gospel when they stop to preach the gospel, to preach all other things that can come from their mouths. We were not called to preach about politics or to preach about other stuff. We were called to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Of course that we will work in this word to make this word better, but our preaching must include only the gospel of Jesus Christ, because preaching comes from the scripture, and everything that doesn't comes from the scripture, it comes from human hearts, and they are not the word of God. We supposed to proclaim the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. How is it possible today in a world where we have television, we have internet, we have all those things, that people among us never listen about the name of Jesus Christ and about his sacrifice? How is it possible that that happened? They already saw pastors in television, but they were not preaching the gospel. They already saw people saying that they came from the presence of God, that they follow Jesus Christ, but they didn't spoke about his works, his deeds, about his salvation. So they don't know. They really don't know. It's very common to speak with people today, and they will be crazy for knowing that Jesus Christ came to die for their sins. We know that. But many unbelievers today around us never listen to the gospel of Jesus Christ. They were not living here for God, and many Christians today are not living for God, because their lives are not shining Jesus, the light of Jesus. They are shining their own lights. They want to be known. They want to be rich. They want to be powerful. But they don't want to bow down before the presence of Christ. They are not working to God. We need to see that they are working to Satan. Here they were the synagogue of Satan. And many Christians today are being the synagogue of Satan. And we cannot be count among them. But God continued to speak with this church in verse 10 saying, "Do not fear what you are about to suffer." And this is very strange. They were already suffering. They were already losing their families, their friends. And now Jesus Christ is telling to them, "Do not fear what you are about to suffer." I want to see those who preach the prosperity gospel deal with this text. How can they explain God looking to a church which is suffering and saying, "It didn't start yet. You will feel a lot of suffering." And the word that God chose was, "Behold, look now, pay attention. The devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested. And for 10 days you will have tribulation." God is speaking to them and saying, "Look, I can see your suffering. I can see your tribulation. But know that everything will be worse. You will still face more tribulation. Many of you will be taken from your house. Many of you will be taken from the church. You will be sent to prisons. You will be tested there. They will torture you. They will try to kill your body. And many of you will lose your own lives. You will be completely destroyed. This is a poverty church. This is a church which is suffering a lot. And God is saying, behold, something worse is coming. Something worse is coming." And to complete that, he says in the last phrase of verse 10, "Be faithful unto death." Be faithful unto death. The result of the persecution is not that you will suffer a lot only, but you will suffer to death. You will die, Jesus is saying to his church. But he completes saying, "And I will give you the crown of life." This is amazing how God can make terrible situations become wonderful. We need to deal with the reality that God called his church to pay a price in this world. We cannot speak anything about the church in tribulation today if we are not facing tribulation for the gospel of Jesus Christ in our lives, in our city, among the believers of Jesus Christ today. Otherwise, we will be lying to God and to our neighbor. You can't speak anything about tribulation if you are not being persecuted for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and paying the price of being a real Christian. This is what God says: "Take your cross and follow me." He's not saying, "Take a rest and wait for me." Take your cross. We know the price of our salvation. We know that our Savior came to this world. He was murdered in front of the believers. All of their people, they denied him. His friends denied him. He was completely lost at the cross. Even God, his own father, he abandoned him. Actually, God the Father punished him for our sins. This is the price of sin. And we know that we are here today because he paid the price. His love was so great. His love was so amazing that he decided to come as a lamb and he was destroyed for us. And now he's calling us to do the same. He's calling us to do the same for the gospel. Pay the price for the gospel. Pay the price for your salvation. Of course, you are not buying your salvation. The meaning of pay the price is do your job. Do what you need to do now that you know that you are saved. We are a church of Jesus Christ. We are not allowed to live as a confused people in this world. We are not allowed to speak other things besides the name and the greatness of our Father for sending His Son for us. People around us, they deserve to know about a Savior. They are being taken as slaves to hell. And we have the good news. We should not stop to teach and to speak about this name. They face all of this. They died for all of this. We know some stories about the situation of the church of Smyrna. We know, for example, one very good story about their bishop named Polycarp. He was a bishop, and he was the bishop of Smyrna after 50 years of the day this letter was wrote to the church of Smyrna. They took him with 86 years. He had 86 years, and he was still preaching the gospel from house to house and teaching the whole community of Smyrna about the love and the kindness of their Savior. And he was being the bishop of that church when the Roman Empire took him after some times that he could avoid being arrested. But with 86 years, they took him and they brought him to the presence of the governor. And the officer of the governor said to him, "Deny Jesus Christ, blaspheme his name, otherwise we will send you to beasts and they will destroy your body." And he answered to that officer saying, "For 86 years I have served him and he has done nothing wrong for me. I cannot deny him." Then they started to make threats even more terrible. They said, "We will put you on fire. You will burn alive if you don't deny and blaspheme the name of Jesus Christ." And he answered, saying, "I will rather die by the fire that consumes for a few hours than die by eternal fire." And they burned him alive. This is what happened with this church. They were completely destroyed for many, many years. But as the result of their death, they received the crown of life. This is something that we need to stop to think about it. Why are you dying for the gospel of Jesus Christ? What did they receive? The crown of life. They could destroy their bodies. They could destroy their families. They could take everything they had. But they received life, everlasting life, from the hands of their Savior. What is important in this word? Are you worried with physical things? Are you worried with your future? Are you worried what will happen after 10 years from now or 20 years from now? No. You can't know if you will be here tomorrow. But we know that if we die right now, we will be in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that image brings hope and joy and favor to our hearts. It's amazing. They cannot kill us. They cannot kill us anymore. They could in the past, but they cannot do it anymore. They can kill this body, this flesh body, but they cannot kill my new body, our new body. They cannot touch us in heaven. They cannot destroy the heavenly city. They cannot fight against the Creator of heaven and earth. They are nothing before the presence of our God. We are safe. We are safe. We should not fear. And it's interesting because we are dealing here with threatenings that will be 100 times worse than the threatenings that we have today. Christians today are not preaching the gospel because they will be ashamed. And not because they will put in a cross or they will be burned alive. People are stopping to speak about Jesus Christ because they want to have friends. Because they want to have peace in their reunion, family reunions, because they want a good life in this world. This is not fair. God died for you. He's calling you to much more than only worship Him. He called you to glorify His name, to praise, really praise His name. And you will not do that if you don't take the whole meaning of being a believer. Spread the good news. Tell them about the gospel. Live a life in the gospel. And you will receive the crown of life. But God continues saying to this church, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." This is the common end of all the letters. He will say that for all them. But he continues to say, "The one who conquers will not be hurt by the second death." There are two important things here. First is what is not in this verse. We will see that in the other verses, in the other letters, God said to them, "If you don't obey me, I will take the lampstand before my presence." Do you remember that? God said that to many churches. God said that, for example, for the church of Smyrna. of Ephesus, sorry. He said that in verse 5, is in your Bible, remember therefore from where you have fallen. Repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. And he said that to the other churches too. But he didn't say that to the church of Smyrna. Why? Because their lampstand would not be taken off. Why did you receive a pastor now from Turkey here at Walker URC, like almost 2,000 after this text, 2,000 years? Because their lampstand was not taken off. There are still a church in Smyrna. There are still a church there. Because God said that they would suffer a lot, that they would pay the price, but they would continue to exist. We cannot say the same for Ephesus. They don't exist anymore. If you go there today, it's just ruins. There's nothing there. They were completely destroyed. But the church in Smyrna still exists. Because of the promise of Jesus Christ. However, they are still suffering. They are still paying the price. The good news is they are still receiving the crown of life. This is what the promises says. And knowing what he didn't say, what Jesus didn't say in verse 11, what he says is, those who stay in my presence until the end, they will not be hurt by the second death. There is a promise which says, you will live forever with me. I will grant your life forever. In what do you trust? If you trust in your richness, you're lost. Once you die, your money will stay here for your children or for the government. I don't know. But you will not take $1 with you. Your family, you cannot bring your family with you. You cannot assurance that they will be there. They need to have faith in the same God. Your work, your power, nothing of this will come to you, with you. You will be completely lost of every possession of this world. And then you will realize you will be facing the face of Jesus Christ. And he will say to you that you are part of his kingdom, or he will say, I don't know you. Two ways. For this church, God is saying, you will not be hurt by the second death. You don't need to fear the real death. You will live forever with me in my kingdom. And there will be no suffering anymore. No pain, no cry. You will not lost anything. You will not be hurt. You will just enjoy and joyfully appreciate the presence of the Son of God. We cannot understand heaven because it's so amazing, it's so perfect that we cannot understand with our sinful bodies and lives. We don't know what is this. We don't know how wonderful will be being his presence and see Jesus Christ seated on the throne. He will be the light of the world, Revelation says. There will not be a sun or stars or moon. There will be Jesus, and He will shine to the whole city, and everyone will rejoice and celebrate His name forever. This is our goal. You don't belong to this world. You don't belong to this reality. Everything here will pass. You will pass. Your neighbors, your friends, the government, everything will pass. But Jesus will be always Jesus. And we need only Jesus. Let's pray. Close your eyes. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for the letter for the Church of Smyrna. We thank You for seeing how this church suffer by the gospel and by the name of Jesus Christ. Oh God, we know that today many people around the world are suffering by the same name. And we pray for them. We pray for those who are arrested, for those who are having their bodies destroyed, for families who lost their lovely people. Oh God, please send Your Holy Spirit to them and bring comfort to their hearts. Remember then about the crowd of life, and remember then about the second life, the better life. And make them rejoice in the presence of Jesus Christ. But we also pray for ourselves. We pray that You guide us to praise Your name through the proclamation of the gospel and for living for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh God, please help us to take our cross and follow You. Help us to glorify Your name through our works and through our lives. Help us, God, to kill the sin of our hearts and our desires, which are making us abandon the call that You have given to us. Oh, please, God, make us a church who will proclaim and live for Jesus and only for Jesus. And also, God, bring peace to our hearts. Bring peace for knowing that we are safe in Your presence. That even if our bodies and our minds can be attacked by this world and by Satan, we will still be safe in the presence of our Lord Jesus. And we are so glad for this. We praise Your name for our salvation. We don't deserve it, but we are very glad that You called us to You. And we want to praise the name of our Lord, because Your deeds are manifest among us. And today we can say that we don't belong to this world, but we belong to Your kingdom. May Your kingdom come. May Your will be done. We pray in Jesus' name.